Excellent. There we are. Gabriella, it's time. They said it was never going to last into the third decade of the 21st century, but they were wrong, because the weather forecast for Lincoln from Gibraltar continues ever onwards now. Over to you, Gabriella.
Okay, so the weather for Lincoln today is highs of 10 degrees centigrade, lows of 4 degrees centigrade, and it's a day with light cloud and a fresh breeze.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
I love the way you actually referred to a day of light crack clouds there, which is
light cloud.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a little cracks in the cloud, little cloudy cracks.
It was a mix of cloud and breeze together.
Yeah, it is very true. And obviously that'll be crease, you know, which is probably the word we should actually use. In fact, I'm amazed that the Met Office don't actually refer to a crazy day. You know, cloud and breezes be creases. Shorten time on that basis. All admin, no work. According to recent research, decision makers in small, medium enterprises are wasting 30% of their time each week doing tasks that don't contribute to their bottom line. And these are tasks such as admin. So roughly, Gabriella, as a fine journalist with the Gibraltar Chronicle, how much of your time do you spend on admin?
Probably not much.
There we are.
Most of everything what I write pretty much ends up in the paper. So we don't really have to do much admin. It's more answering back to people, emails, seeing people who turn up at the office. That probably takes, but that's part of the job.
Do people still do that these days with all the social media? Do they actually physically turn up to the Gibraltar Chronicle and say, I have a story?
Yeah, of course. It doesn't happen too often anymore. But people do turn up and say they have a story. We do have that every so often. It turns out sometimes to be especially older generation who don't know email too well, don't know how it works. It'll turn up with an A4 piece of paper and say, here's our press release.
Wow.
But we also have people who just turn up. It usually seems to be a spur of the moment thing. So when people are really angry about a certain subject, or they're really worked up about something, they don't take the moment to process and think, what am I going to do next? So they run straight into the paper, and then we kind of we calm them down. So sometimes we're part therapist as well.
Yeah, well, there you have it. I mean, it shows the multi-talented nature of the kind of thing you need to work through. I suppose one of the key things which we'll be talking about later on today, of course, is the notion that it's no longer January, it's Veganuary. Georgie Porter is going to be talking about Veganuary, obviously going vegan for January, or indeed, as Robin Pearce actually said last night, he's looking forward to the equivalent later on in the year where we actually have Porktober. But in terms of, we don't...
Is that a thing?
I just think it's sausage festivals. Well, it could be. We could have launched it today or yesterday. Porktober. What about Veganuary? Is it something which you would say, yeah, I can identify with that? I'm looking to go vegan. I feel as though it's apart from Frodo, who clearly, as a canine, needs to have a carnivorous diet. Or do they? Actually, I think canines can exist. I don't know. You'd have to ask them. Have you ever considered giving a vegan diet for Frodo?
No. But for humans, I think, you know, having a few more vegetables isn't bad for us. So I do try and eat more veg and less meat. So I try and make sure that I have a few meals a week that don't have any meat in them.
And there's always fruit, of course.
Yeah, and fruit, of course. But I remember once with Siren FM, we did a vegan and vegetarian challenge. And I was on the vegetarian lot because I couldn't commit to being vegan for a week. I may have had an English breakfast and a McDonald's during my vegetarian challenge, so I failed.
Good heavens.
I kept on forgetting that I was vegetarian. I would order stuff and be halfway through it and then realize, oh no, I'm meant to be vegetarian this week.
It's frustrating when that happens. We'll see if Georgie's having a similar sort of line from that point of view. I'm sure after Dancing on Ice, then certainly being a vegan, Veganuary will be a way forward. And Great British Bake Off winner Candice Brown is also joining us. She's a wee bit concerned about the high street because it would seem that once again this thing which is integral to modern consumer needs still actually is declining. The kind of words that are being used to describe the British high street, and I'm not sure whether this applies to Gibraltar, are things such as sad, bleak, and indifference. Is that used in the adjectival terms of the Gibraltar High Street, or is it a case of it's Gibraltar, it's party time 24/7?
We have a really busy high street, to be fair, because it's the only one here, and if not, you have to go to Spain to shop or online, and we have a lot of cruise ships, so a really busy, and if you want more, I don't know, I think we also have very low tax or no tax on alcohol and things, so you tend to find a lot of cruise ship passengers stocking up.
It's also that it's the feeding aspects that come across very badly in this survey. 3 in 10 people wouldn't entertain going for a meal on the high street. More than 1 in 4 say that all the pubs, bars and cafes on their local high street are grotty and unappealing. Well, there we are.
And the Lincoln High Street is quite nice.
Well, yeah, but since you left, obviously, it's just not the same.
I've always really enjoyed Lincoln High Street. That applies to Lincoln.
There are parts of Lincoln I'm sure I could take you to. I don't think I'd necessarily go to eat there, but still, let's be positive. Let's start off the year.
But that's everywhere.
Yeah, this is true. As I say, Candice Brown will be chatting to us a bit more about that. So is it a case of we're just getting back into the swing of things now? Is it a case of the first thing I'm going to do when I actually head into the Gibraltar Chronicle is find out the latest on the Sussexes and find out where exactly they're going to go to? Because I would have thought rather than actually heading off to Canada, it can be a bit cold. I mean, we heard last night from Abby, who's in Canada, of course, that it's, snow is there and so on. Why didn't they just actually say, right, we're stepping back for our duties, we're going to take up residence in Gibraltar?
Probably think of Gibraltar's a bit too small for them. They want to make money independently, so I would think that maybe Megan's
going back to acting.
trying her hand at it again.
Go back to the day
job. And she'll probably have much better luck now, I would say.
Well,
her profile's so much bigger than what it used to be.
It's a heck of a good career move, you know. It's the classic routine.
I think there'll be Hollywood studios probably asking for her just
hammering on the
door. Name on it.
On
the cover of the film would bring in an audience.
Exactly.
Let's see what the Duchess is doing.
Yeah, it may even get a Golden Globe nomination. So we'll roll that out to Richard Fitzwilliams in a few moments when we come to him and chat about what he's been getting up to. We're also talking about WW, which is apparently the new name for Weight Watchers. We can't say Weight Watchers anymore, although I've just said it twice. It's WW. So that's the new trendy routine, and we have two fine folk from WW. I will mention what it stands for one more time on the programme at least, but they'll be coming in to join us as well. Not that you have any sort of challenges with respect to that, Gabriella, but it's just apparently if you're into a fitness routine, it's best to actually partner, buddy up either with a member of the family or a best friend or somebody from that point of view. The results are a lot better if you do that rather than if you actually go and do it as a solo sort of gig. So there we have it. That's kind of menu for where we're going. Gabriella, it has been fantastic. Who knows, maybe next week some of the other midweek drivettes will decide, yeah, okay, we'll get up now, etc. But who knows, it's early days.
Well, that's should important. Be starting soon, right?
It already has. It's there. People are passing across the day as we see from that point of view through our little location here from Siren Radio in the heart of the University of Lincoln. There we are. It's just a case of sometimes I think it's the exhaustion. They've probably partied out over the festive season. Nevertheless, falls for me to ask you those last two questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Gabriella Peralta?
I have, thank you.
Marvellous. And can we look forward to connecting again with you in 168 hours or 7 days from now?
Yes.
With a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Letting the days go by, let the water flow.
same as it ever was, 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 same as it ever was. Water dissolving and water removing. There is water at the bottom of the ocean. Under the water, carry the water.
Obviously, and weight watching is obviously one of those areas which clearly is at the heart of a whole range of things when you start talking about getting fit and so on. So who better to talk about some of the help and assistance that Weight Watchers can actually provide than the general manager of Weight Watchers? That's the awesome Anna Hill. How are you, Anna?
I'm very well, but thank you for the awesome. That's very generous.
Very, very important. And also we've got the wonderful global director of nutrition at Weight Watchers. That's Zoe Griffiths. How are you, Zoe?
I'm very well, thank you. Happy New Year.
And a happy 2022, good self. Now, talk to us, Anna, initially about this line that certainly in terms of the East Midlands, nearly 40% of people are planning to make a healthy lifestyle change, but it's a case of working with friends as well.
Well, that's right. I mean, we commissioned a study just in December to understand a little bit more about this and what helps motivate people to make a change. And we found that over half of those people that we approached do want to make a change to their lifestyle. But we also really importantly found that over 60% of those people felt that they were more likely to commit to making a change to their lifestyle if they did it with someone else, which was really interesting for us.
It's obviously worth noting that, of course, it is WW these days, not just Weight Watch is so 20th century. But Zoe, from your own perspective, clearly getting fit, it can only be to benefit of all individuals, really, to actually focus on this.
Absolutely. And at WW, what we're here to do is to help you reach the goals that you want to. So whatever it is that you want to achieve, getting healthier, feeling stronger, feeling happier, and losing weight if that's what you want to do, that's what our programme is designed for. And I think what's really exciting is the research that's out this week around if you join with your family and friends, you're more likely to lose up to 14% more weight, which is really significant when you've committed to doing something and you're really motivated to make a change. The thing that can make the difference is enlisting the people around you.
That really is quite a phenomenal sort of line that we've actually got. I mean, as you said, one in five agree that having a friend join with them makes them more accountable if they fail. A quarter say they prefer meal planning with someone else. Is that all part of the social aspects of WW, Anna?
Yeah, I mean, our organisation has been firmly based on community and about bringing people together, and I think it's never more relevant as it is today. I think it's really about whether you do that with people around you, as Zoe mentioned, friends and family, but also these days, doing it together can be doing it through online communities. It can be doing it together with people that you don't already know. So what we've had great success with it, with our workshops that we run, you know, thousands every week across the country, is you can go along, even if you're going along on your own, you will meet other people there. And those people will help motivate you to achieve your goal. You'll either become friends with them, or just on a weekly basis as you meet, they will encourage you and inspire you to be more successful. And even if you don't get along to a workshop and you're just doing the program through our digital app, you know, we've got our own community called Connect, where thousands and thousands of people are encouraging each other to really achieve their goals. And the positivity in that space, for me, is mind-blowing, because the world these days, you know, there is a lot of negativity, and particularly it can get challenging in the digital and social space. But this Connect area is full of people motivating each other. And that's what we all need, particularly at this time of year, is just someone to help us, encourage us, make us a little bit more accountable to achieve the goals that we're setting ourselves.
Zoe, you've been at WW for over a decade. You've clearly obviously focused on a whole range of things within this whole system. Have you seen sort of huge changes in terms of this, or despite all the social media stuff that's actually there, is it still a case of it's that human touch that kind of is the kind of the wonderful X factor that helps us all?
Absolutely. I mean, I've only been at WW for, well, it's my 13th year now, but WW has been around for almost 60 years, and it was founded on the premise of community. So whatever goals you're trying to achieve, you're better together. So our founder, Jean Neidich, got people together with a cup of tea in her front room and found that she could achieve her goals when she talked about it, when she got support, inspiration from other people around her. And that's absolutely what we're all about today, but within, you know, in the modern times. So we have an amazing digital platform where the at the heart of it is bringing people together. So not only, as Anna mentioned, do we have this fantastic Connect, but we have 24/7 coach, which actually means that you can reach a WW coach 24 hours a day. And trust me, we've tried it at 2 a.m. just to test. So you can reach out to a trusted expert to get advice, motivation, and questions answered. So community will always be a part of what we do. But certainly over the last 13 years, we continue to evolve. You know, we've just launched our most customized program ever on November the 11th, and thousands of members are joining up and having a go at it now. Because science changes, our understanding of what is the most healthy, sustainable approach to weight loss and behavior change continues to evolve, and we stay up to date with that and evolve as we go. And certainly what people expect from a healthy lifestyle provider changes as well. So we're there to meet people's expectations and deliver a great experience, a great program that works and that's healthy and that people enjoy doing.
WW.com, presumably, Anna, the best place to go to find out further details about what we've been talking about today.
Yeah, definitely. Please check out the website, and you can see a great offer so that you can join with someone else. And all I'd say is, you know, for all of us, it's so much easier to do things when you're it's more fun when you're doing it together, and it just makes you stick to what you are promising yourself you want to do. So, yeah, go to www.com and check it out, and please join us.
Anna Hill, General Manager, WW, and Zoe Griffiths, Global Director of Nutrition, WW. Many thanks indeed, and a happy, healthy new year, ladies.
And the same to you.
I'm really not sure whether actually WW as opposed to WWW is the best way forward. Obviously, WWW is World Wide Web. WW is, of course, the newly rebranded Weight Watchers. Maybe what they actually need is some, I don't know, significant royal patronage. Maybe the Sussexes could actually be interested in actually looking after WW. Oh, sorry, perhaps not, because they're stepping back. Aren't they, Richard Fitzwilliams?
They are indeed, this is a bombshell. You know?
Yeah, well, you say that, but I've got to say, I'm of the mind, apart from Gabriella Peralta's earliest suggestion that maybe if they're looking to become more financially independent, Meghan could actually trade off on her name with Hollywood, get back to roles there, which would probably guarantee that Golden Globes next year would have, you know, at least one female soul in that. So that's one system.
know, I think that it is very possible she might return to acting on a part-time basis.
And,
they can do what they want. They will do what they want.
And in the words of Piers Morgan, obviously a very sensitive individual, etc., his latest tweet, people say, this is Piers Morgan, of course, I'm too critical of Meghan Markle, but she ditched her family, ditched her dad, ditched most of her old friends, split Harry from William, and has now split him from the royal family. I rest my case. People go back to, obviously, Wallace and a whole range of things with respect to Edward from that point of view. I don't think I'm surprised. I mean, I almost might have predicted this last year, actually, in the height of this Hollywood romance that everybody saw them as wonderful. Actually, you know, they just can't handle it, Richard, so they're off.
I thought, you see, that they could because he was trained to be a senior royal and she was superb in working crowds and seemed to have the sort of background, especially since she was a modernizer, and especially since, you know, as a biracial American divorcee, just what the royal family needed, we thought. But there is no question, if you look at the ITV documentary, and there have been clips of it all over the place, no, they certainly haven't been able to handle it. But to do this in this way is extraordinary, because this is irresponsible. You put out a statement without consulting the Queen or other members of the royal family who are senior, and also you don't, as far as one can see, I mean, all this needs planning, the how it's going to be funded, the security aspects of it, where they're going to live in North America, Archie's future and so forth, the engagements they're going to be undertaking, a sort of semi-royal, it could be a sort of split royal family, really, because they are remaining royals, they're not standing down as royals, at least not for the time being. So it raises so many questions, and these are questions of media, which they dislike so intensely, will be picking over.
And yet, Richard, they're still going to continue to use social media. They're going to use their Instagram account, which apparently has 10.1 million followers, so slightly more than yourself. Not right. Surprising that. They also will be personally sharing moments in their lives directly with members of the public. I think they're confused. And in terms of the actual system, I think it's probably a classic example of folk who actually ultimately don't have the level of approach or level of expertise or stick-at-it-ness or maybe even faith that they actually need. I wish them well. I'm sure they'll be fine. Maybe they could actually set up a joint little Canadian branch, and maybe they could take Uncle Andy along as well, and they could have Uncle Andrew and the Sussexes in a nice little happy family. And that's got to be a TV series that would match the Kardashians if you could actually get that on air, surely.
You are, I'm afraid, only too right that this is something that's got to be worked out, and indeed one wishes them well. The point is that I do not think they should have put the royal family into this sort of position, because what you quite literally got here is chaos at the palace at the moment. And remember, it wasn't that long since Andrew's car crash interview. Last year was bad enough. Here, they've, so to speak, gone rogue. And if you do that for an institution which is a symbol of national unity and is an important as the monarchy. And remember, no royal family has the reach of ours, and nor is there the media interest in them. I mean, they all sorts of things they could do. Will it make them happy? Will they find the balance they need? And with the negotiation for the palace, I mean, there's no doubt at all who funds this. They want to become financially independent. Well, it's considering their lifestyle, it will be tricky. And the other problem is, of course, security and issues linked with that. They're very, very expensive.
With respect to somebody who you may, I'm sure you will have encountered in your own particular circles, Richard, former Buckingham Palace press officer Dicky Arbiter. He compares the couple's move to Edward VIII's abdication in 1936 in order to marry twice divorced American Wallace Simpson. His words, that is the only other precedent, but there's been nothing like this in modern times, he says.
No, but there hasn't. That's what I've been saying, too, that except that Edward was king, whereas Harry's sixth in line, so the comparison isn't direct. But this was voluntary. This is the point. Andrew, of course, was not. And in this connection, what we see is the fact that she was such a modernizer and such an important symbol. There's absolutely no doubt that the whole thing is, it's unprecedented, it is confusing, and it all will be in a media spotlight. I can only say that we have no idea how this will work out, and they should not have done it until they knew.
See, they're clearly going to Canada because I suspect they wouldn't be necessarily welcomed by the current incumbent of the White House, but that's a long time.
Canada or the United States, they're North American with me either.
What about Mexico? That would be good for them. You know, there's a thought there. They could probably sort of do various other bits and pieces from that point of view. In terms of the actual figures, and I know we hate looking at these figures, but apparently more than 950,000 people have actually liked the post already. This is the statement which was posted on the Sussex's Instagram account. Good for you, said many in response. Some people obviously said another Wallace Simpson shows Americans don't have the fortitude to be royal. Do people still care, or is it a case of we must give thanks for small mercies? Just think what would have happened if Prince William had actually married Meghan Markle.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's anything to be thankful for here. What one, all the best...
I think Kate Middleton would probably choose to differ, actually, but that's another line entirely.
All we do know, and this is so important, all we know is that they are going their own way. Now, what that involves, or what exactly that involves, has got to be worked out, and they haven't bothered to do this. They've simply issued an ultimatum. They put out a statement. Nobody realized, because when I first read it, I'd assumed that even if they didn't agree with it, other senior royals were on side.
Why would you consult with the monarch of the United Kingdom or any of the Buckingham Palace Brigade? Why would you even ask your parents? Just do it. Is it selfish, do you not think, at one level as well, that there's a kind of selfishness in here?
It is extremely selfish.
Anyway, that's ill-mannered, one might well say, which is something which has been levelled at a number of sort of folk across the whole routine, particularly when they get to celebrity status. My point, Richard, is this is the sort of mentality you get when you actually have an artificial royal family which sets up things like the Golden Globes and the Hollywood Oscars, but that's by the by.
Indeed, next week, perhaps, we can discuss them.
Well, it's either that or we talk about another dysfunctional family from the world of fiction, and that's the Skywalker family. Lord knows they had their problems, but still, never mind. Perhaps nothing like the
They
Moses.
Certainly do.
Okay, Richard, it's been awesome as ever. Did you want to squeeze in anything about cats, or was that too traumatic an experience for you?
I think let us deal with it when we have time to examine the trauma.
Well, and remember
the shot of Dame Judi Dench without a paw and with her wedding ring on. That's one to treasure.
Mm. Well, you see, these are the kind of classic routines. So, as I know you'll probably be busy, I mean, has the phone literally not stopped ringing for your good self this morning, Richard? Is it a case of we need to have the Fitzwilliams views?
It still is.
Exactly. So keep on keeping on. And remember, in the classic words
Thank
of that
you.
Awesome routine, dignity, always dignity. There goes the phone. Richard Fitzwilliams, we'll speak next week. Take care now.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Suddenly, the wheels are in motion. when you're near. There's no way any hurt can get through.
Olivia Newton-John, or indeed, as she now is rightly referred to, Dame Olivia Newton-John with Cliff Richard. I think he's Sir Cliff Richard. I don't know. I'll have to double-check that. Suddenly we have a 40-year-old man who actually comes in and scores a cracking goal against a team that contains a striker worth £44 million. Joe Linton. I mean, it shows a balance, doesn't it? You know, there we have the wonderful Aaron stepping up there, doing his stuff, etc., getting an equaliser for the mighty Rochdale against the £44 million containing Newcastle United Joe Linton side. It's wonderfully asymmetrical, was it not, Ian Lennox?
Oh, it was, yes. Right, OK, let's get over with
it. Well, I just...
How did Manchester City do, by the way?
We beat Manchester United 3-1, a game which is still not over, and it's a pity we didn't know we managed... Well, I mean, obviously we had Bravo in goal, so you can pretty much guarantee that you're going to have at least one goal against from that point of view, but there we are. And, of course, we beat the mighty Port Vale 4-1 to march on to a home tie against Fulham in the next round. So reasonable stuff from that point of view. In terms of the league, well, you know, you've got to sort of pass on the sort of notions to the likes of...
Have you given up on the league yet, then?
I'm afraid that in the words of Pep Guardiola, it's probably one of those times where we have to say it's unlikely. Particularly when you have to play Wolverhampton Wanderers for 10 men, you have a 2-0 lead, but again, because Bravo's in goal, well, possibly more than that exactly, you lose 3-2. But that's by the by. You know, and I'm still haven't forgiven Newcastle United for daring to actually sort of take points from the sides. These are all these
sort of reasons. Two seasons running, eh?
Well, these are all the reasons why you think.
I think you've got one point against us at home.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I say, it's not where you start, it's where you finish, and you know, clearly these are the sort of lines that we'll work
through.
Yeah,
that's right.
Much as the Royals will be talking about this, I mean, Ian, do you have any thoughts? I mean, we've been talking about it through the programme so far with Gabriella and Gibraltar. Richard Fitzwilliams, we've just heard, quite shocked by the fact that the decision was actually made to step back from royal duties without consulting anybody. A question which we've been asking to a large extent is, do you care? Do you care, Ian Lennox? Is it a case of, why Canada? Why couldn't they actually come down to Baker and sort of set up a shop there, basically? You know, that would surely be fun for all the family.
There are, for me, more important things going on in the world.
Well, I think that's fair enough. For instance, we're in the month which is Veganuary, and we'll be talking to actress and model Georgie Porter about her attempts to work through this. One in two people could apparently turn vegan in 2020, all due to health and the environment being the main factors. Big question, have you ever considered taking up a vegan lifestyle in Lennox?
I haven't really. My son-in-law is, he's one of those people who sort of examines these sort of things, and mm-hmm. he's quite a strict vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
One of my other friends refuses to eat chickens because he thinks it's appalling the way they're killed. And I think... More and more people are thinking about this. It's probably a good thing, I think.
Well, people in the East Midlands apparently said that they would miss chicken, bacon and steak if they were vegan. The line that where you're sort of considering various other species. I actually passed your way and I was very, very tempted to actually drop in twice, not once, but twice over the festive period. Once when I actually headed up to BMG or Be More Geek at the Metro Centre in Gateshead.
Oh,
and secondly, when I headed off to Edinburgh earlier this week, And you know, again, I thought, well, I should really actually have a word with
you. You should. Actually, you would, I had a lodger from the theatre in last week, so you wouldn't be, I couldn't have given you my parking pass.
Well,
but there, I could have probably worked something else.
Well, I'll tell you what. As I promised William Coles, obviously Edinburgh, before he goes off to Nepal for Everest Base Camp, and also I promised Gwyneth Griffiths that we do that, and I'm making you the promise as well that in the next few months, Ian, I will make a journey to Newcastle, because at the end of the day, it's Muhammad and mountains and various other bits and pieces. You know, we need to.
Yes,
to
I know. Well, if you give me a warning, I'll give Arthur a shout as well.
Yes, so. That's exactly so.
In fact, a coffee in Gosford.
I think that
you
would
can pay.
Well, of course.
On expenses.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it would be like two senior citizens of Tyneside and a young whelp from Teesside putting together all sorts of magical things for the world, which would be great. So, vegans, we've talked about time, in case you're wondering. Why would you be? It's just coming up to 41 minutes. It's 21 minutes to 9 o'clock. 21 minutes to 9 o'clock and counting, so scooting on there. But we do have Tessa's Tune of the Week, which, again, we haven't played for some time. And I wasn't sure whether this band actually have something to do with, they're called Kendall. I'm not sure whether they have anything to do with Cumbria at all in any way, shape or form. It's an interesting number. I'm not sure, Ian, but are you ready for Staring Back at Me?
I'm not on the radio.
No, exactly. you see, I gave you the line and you've delivered it sort of exquisitely.
Yeah, I'm not just on
it. This is the tune, Staring Back at Me by Kendall. It was Tessa's Tune of the Week for the opening week of 2020.
Nobody sees. True colors staring
Yes. The Kendall Connection, Ian. The Kendall
really?
Connection, yes. That's the name of the band with Staring Back at Me. We mentioned Kendall, of course, in the Lake District. They might, of course, have some connection with Howard Kendall, former manager, of course, of Man City and Everton.
Huh. Yes. Why, though?
I don't. We're going to have to ask them. They will be appearing on Tessa's next Sound and Country Vision, so people from the Kendall Connection will be there. Questions that Tessa can put to them. And in my role as producer of that particular production, I will endeavour to suggest that she does. So that's all
right.
Exactly. Because, I mean, Ian, there must be times when you've produced shows, and sometimes, you know, the maxim, if you want something worth doing, do it yourself. I'm not saying this is the case with Tessa, because she's ace and does wonderful stuff, etc. But are there ever any times where, as a producer, you have to kind of get the balance right between interference, guidance, and non-interference, or simply not caring?
So I did documentaries and features and stuff.
Mm.
A bit different. I didn't do actually studio programmes, really. I much prefer to work on have an autonomy. The best years of my life in my profession were the last 10 or 15, where provided my ratings on for the programs it was okay, they basically let me do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I thought I didn't have a very good speaking voice, so I got other people to do the sound, you know, the sound bites and stuff.
Yeah.
And that occasionally caused some problems, because you used to get in television, you used to have people, some people with quite big egos,
and they wanted to do.
I just
like to inflict a little sort of thing on this particular thing, if I may, Ian, if I can just actually do this particular side of things, etc. And do not know who I am, and so on. Very difficult, but still, never mind. There's always an inverse relationship between the size of the talent and the size of the ego, I find, really. You need to get the balance right on that basis.
Well, I mean, my case, it was just I was working with at the company. There were just some people I got on great with, and that was fine.
Yeah.
And some people wanted to do. They wanted more control over things, and that led to problems. Yeah. And about 25 years ago, I was going out with an actress whose best friend came to stay with us for a while, and She was a voice coach.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't just a voice coach. She was on the A-list of the voice coaches, the top stars.
Mm-hmm.
When she came to stay with us, she'd just finished working with Albert Finney and people like, you know, that's ill.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, you've got a perfectly good voice.
Yeah.
And I could teach you, you know, certain things.
Ian, would we have you on radio on a weekly slot on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition if we felt basically Ian's hopeless? Nobody can understand a word he's saying. It's just noise.
Right. Anyway, I said no. I didn't want to do that because I felt it rather superficial to start talking in a way that wasn't natural to me.
Oh.
So I didn't take advice, and one of the consequences of that, I had a most horrendous experience working with a complete control freak on a documentary.
Mm.
But anyway, the lady is a lady called Penny Dyer, who you may have heard of, because she was, among many other things, was a voice coach to Helen Mirren on The Queen.
Mm.
And Helen Mirren, when she won, not the Oscar, but the one before that, she got she described it as a genius.
Oh, there we are.
So, anyway, I turned her down. It wasn't good enough for me.
It's the road less travelled, Ian, the road less travelled. And finally, as we look towards Candice Brown, winner of the Great British Bake Off competition, who's very much in favour of actually energising the high street, not only because of her own sort of pubs and various other aspects that are actually there, but do you think that over the last 5 years, journalists who use terms like sad, bleak and indifference, referring to how local shopping makes people feel, are they right? Is Newcastle's high street, you know, is it thriving? I mean, honestly, I was quite impressed with the Metro Centre. It's the first time I've been there for about a decade. And of course, these days, it's not just the Metro Centre, it's the Into Metro Centre. It's changed its name completely. Very confusing.
And there's also the one in Newcastle Centre as well.
Yes.
Eldon Square.
Eldon Square, which I remember when it was being built. And I remember going to see Eldon Square there, which I suppose pigeonholes
based
me.
On Canada and Edmonton, which is the biggest in the world, I think. So anyway, I mean, yes. But, I mean, it's obvious what's happening. There's a lot of more internet shopping now.
Yeah.
And the people, shops can't afford to pay the rates or the rents. So there's going to have to be a big change there, or else they're going to go bust.
And what do you prefer, Ian? Given the choice, do you prefer doing a few clicks on the keyboard and then ensuring that boxes of delight come through the post to you, whether you're in or not? And indeed, there is that opportunity now. Waitrose have trialled this, and we've also heard that there are lots of opportunities where you can actually provide access keys to deliverers to actually deliver everything. They can stack you your shelves, do the whole thing.
The potential is huge. They're talking about drones delivering things.
Well, it's a strange and brave new world, the 21st century, but we're still living in it, and that's the important thing. Ian, it's been a nice way of actually just chewing the fat between the two of us with no midweek driver interruption whatsoever. You know, nobody looking at the other side of the desk, looking longingly, saying, can I say a few words to Ian? Can I at least ask him those last two questions? No, we've just worked our way through that seamlessly. Yeah. So,
in regards to Tessa, well, yeah, I think she's smashing us. She's become a Facebook friend since she was on your programme when I was talking.
Exactly, yes.
And she touch me, become Facebook friends. So.
Well, that's what we like to hear. And what did you think of her tune, then?
Oh, yes, I'm just of another generation, you know. And I don't think that song will be played in 10 years' time.
There we are.
And I don't know, I haven't really got the competence. I thought the instrumental didn't blend in with the...
Mm. It was almost as though halfway through they said, quick, give the air guitar people something to actually identify with, put some guitar solo in there, and we'll take it onto that line. Never mind.
somebody just jumped on the stage with his own guitar.
Yeah,
rather.
So it's stage crashing.
Yeah, I mean, other people probably like that, I don't know.
Well, Robin Pierce did yesterday, so it just goes to show. It's a whole
fair enough.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Ian Lennox?
Yes, thank you.
Marvellous. And it's great to see Joe Linton. I mean, he must have such confidence and thriving. And he's much beloved by the fans, I see. They're very impressed with the effort he puts into the side. I mean, you can't say, if nothing else, you can't say that Mike Ashley doesn't splash the cash on goodies from that point of view, does it, really, in terms of the way forward? It's marvellous. So will you be back again next week?
Yes, certainly, yes.
and I'll put you together again.
Hot chocolate. I'll put you together again. Coming up in the next hour of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, we'll be speaking to the CEO of Tides.co, that's Oliver Prill, and the co-founder of Ocean Bottle, Will Pearson, talking about how much time is spent wasted on pointless administrative tasks, or just admin, maybe not pointless admin, just administrative tasks and so on, something I'm sure most folk can actually identify with. Part, of course, as we heard from Gabriella Peralta, journalist in Gibraltar. Georgie Porter will be joining us to talk about Veganuary. Yes, it is the month where we're heading into a whole new world, brave new world of ecological choices with lifestyles and so on. And Great British Bake Off winner Candice Brown will, as mentioned, be talking about the challenges facing high street retailers. We may even look to catch up with William Sitwell, who is currently skiing in some part of Europe. Whether he's in a fit state to actually take a telephone message at this time of the morning, who knows? But we can but try. That's all we can say on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Don't forget, later on this evening at 7 o'clock, you've got a chance to actually listen again to a classic edition of the Stone Tapes with Sam Stone, David J. Howe, and many, many more writers and authors with a genre, a theme of SF and fantasy and so on. To take us around to the news, though, from the Sky News Centre, well, I feel just a tad, and it's a lovely little frisson of Skepta featuring N-Dubs with So Alive. Time coming around to 3 minutes to 9 o'clock here on Siren Radio, Lincoln's first community radio station, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, and hopefully we'll continue to do so as your New Year's resolution throughout 2020. Every Wednesday, every Thursday, I just choose Siren Radio. All good things are found here in the fullness of time. Take it away, Skepta.
Yeah, Skepta. Boy, better know. N-Dubs. I never have a dream when I go to sleep at night. My dream begins when I walk outside. Now I'm on stage and I feel like I'm looking through Michael Jackson's eyes. Stories, rumors, and accusations. So I gotta stay self-conscious of my hand gestures before they call me a mason or say that I'm working with Satan. But even a blind man could see. Oh, I never saw myself with a P. When you're looking at Skepta, you're looking at Grimes. So the only thing I gotta stay true to is me. I don't need a helping hand. Stand up tall, I'm my own man. Find me on the tallest building in the country, singing as loud as I can.
I feel so alive.
Everyone singing along to my boss, man. When triple platinum see me, I'm trying to do what Elvis done. And the stage is way too big for me. Labels never thought this guy from the ghetto could make all these girls sing for me. Nana, 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 nah. I got a big nana chain hanging down to my navel. Tell the bartender, take a fat bottle of champagne over to Polydor's table. Big men acting like school kids. Say they're gonna run up on me with a full clip. So I pulled down the two flaps on my hat, cause I didn't wanna hear that boosh.
I feel so alive.
And Silla, Phaser aka Six Figure. Man said I got robbed for my chain till I put a picture on Skepta's Twitter. When I go to the Gucci store, I dress rags. Security think that I ain't gonna buy sh. Then I pull out my card and swipe it. Bowl out with 20 bags. If I like them, top them. If you hate her, can't stop them. MCs wanna diss N-Dubs, but they can't get a top 20, let alone a top 10. So if it weren't for the fans, I would've had a haters' blood on my hands. I'm a mastermind behind a keyboard, so I'ma carry on stacking up these grams.
I feel so alive.
Siren Radio. FM.
FM.
Online.
Online.
Mobile.
Excellent. And the weather today for the Lincolnshire area, highs of 10 degrees centigrade, lows of 4 degrees centigrade, a day of light cloud with a fresh breeze. Oh, if we only had time to effectively appreciate the breeze and so on and didn't actually have to spend it on admin tasks and so on. Well, the time has arrived where we can actually discuss the amount of time that's spent wasted on administrations, particularly if you're involved with small, medium enterprises, etc. The best person to actually speak to about this, of course, the Chief Executive Officer of Tide.co. It's the wonderful Oliver Prill. How are you, Oliver?
Very good morning to you.
Excellent. Now, this survey, which I think intuitively, most of us tend to think, yeah, we more and more admin seems to be coming through no matter where we're sort of based, whether we're in a public sector, whether we're in universities, whether we're in businesses, etc. But actually, this particular sort of aspect in which 1,000 directors, senior management staff, chief executives and owners of SMEs, small and medium enterprises, were actually surveyed, 30% of their time is wasted in terms of what's going on. That's quite a substantial. I mean, that's a third of their average productive working week spent just on admin.
Absolutely, it's a crazy number. And remember, the vast majority of our SMEs are actually small. So of the 5.9 million, 5.7 really have no or one or two employees, which basically means not only do you spend all this time, but it's really the owner that spends the time. And clearly, they could be spending the time much better moving their business forward.
Yeah, I mean, looking at, again, some of the numbers, that time wasted equates to almost 2.5 hours each day, Monday through Friday. That's 12 hours a week. And although there are certain benefits to obviously being self-employed, so effectively running your own business, etc., I would have thought this can be a disincentive in many cases to people actually saying, oh, I'd like to actually set up my own business, but frankly, I haven't got the will to live after seeing the amount of admin I need to do.
That's true. And, you know, many people sort of stumble into it because when you start out in business, and of course we speak to a lot of entrepreneurs, when you start out, you really have this vision of running your restaurant, your media agency, you know, whatever you're planning to do. You know, you underappreciate the amount of admin. And this 30% of time spent is clearly comes as a huge shock. A lot of it is also completely unnecessary. So the interesting thing is, of it, 1.5 hours a day are, for example, spent on chasing open invoices, really something that should not be needed. And so it comes as a bad surprise to many people. And, in the worst circumstances, there are other statistics that sort of suggest that 50,000 businesses a year fail because they can't recover all the money from their invoices, sent out. So this is a very serious issue and one that's clearly underappreciated.
Now, in terms of your own company with respect to Tide.co, I mean, again, and it's an interesting sort of concept because there is this notion of actually trying to be a King Canute character and actually having to battle against the tide coming in of invoices, tax returns, and so on. I mean, is this a case of there is no hope, or is there hope at the end of the tunnel, and maybe even with all the IT challenges that we might be faced as well, that there are ways in which you can hopefully work smarter as opposed to working harder?
Absolutely. So if you look at Tide, so Tide is in business banking. However, we define business banking differently to a standard bank. So we include all this financial admin as part of our remit, and we really aim to save people time. And we've had phenomenal impact. I mean, we now have almost 140,000 members. We call our customers members, which means a little bit over 1 in 50 SMEs actually does their banking with Tide. And what we do is we try to really alleviate that. So easy invoicing, easy expense management. You can do your payroll nice and seamlessly through Tide. So we try to seriously cut down on, on this admin time spent. And that's probably the reason why we're seeing such, significant inflow of new members.
And is that one of the key aspects that no matter what stage the business happens to be at, even if it's a startup perhaps, are startups actually in a better position because they can take advantage of the things that are offered by Tide without necessarily having the pain of having to work through the views of doing it all themselves?
So you have to differentiate. So often when we think of startups, we think of, the tech-savvy sort of digital startups. The vast majority of startups in the UK are actually traditional. And there, for them, many of them have never been exposed to this. So if you open your hair salon, you open your restaurant, you've never done this before. You may have been a chef or something like that. And so it's actually a lot of the time, you know, Tide spends in our community pages actually helping people, educating people how this is done. So I would actually argue, you know, when you start out in business, things get even harder. Because you just have to learn on the job. And, you know, one of the other interesting things that the survey showed is that over 50% of business owners feel they're exposed to tasks which they're really not educated and trained in. So they have to learn on the job. And that, of course, makes things a lot harder. So you can probably argue the admin takes 30% and you have, you know, your super-duper qualified accountant doing it for you. You might be able to do it in half the time, but most businesses can't afford that, right? They're running, you know, their own show. And so part of it is providing people with the right tools, making them as intuitive and as self-service as possible. But the other part that Tide spends a lot of time on is in master classes, helping people to understand how this is done most efficiently.
There are lots of folk out there who I'm sure will actually still be traditionalists and maintain, no, I like to have an accountant to do my books and to actually look at papers and all the rest of the bits and pieces of the gin there, because they don't trust information technology. Does Tide have sufficient security packages built in to ensure that actually it's perfectly safe and sorted?
Yeah, so we've never had any issues with that, and of course we have an entire department looking at information security, as you would expect. The other thing that's quite important at Tide, what you can do is you can do things with Tide itself, or you can actually easily connect your accountant up with Tide. So we have a lot of members who actually do use accountants, but even if you have an accountant, yeah, the accountant wants your expenses, they want your invoices, and so on. And in Tide, you can prepare all of that, and we will digitally pass that on to your accountant in their software system, making it a lot easier rather than, the classic one, which is, spending the Sunday afternoon doing expenses. That is definitely time of the past, but if you prefer to do things through your accountant and their software package, Tide is fully compatible.
You could even use it as an acronym, basically. Time saving is definitely easier with Tide, T-I-D-E.
Now, that's a very good one. We'll quote you on that one.
There you go. For the moment, though, where can people go to find out further information about Tide.co? Oliver.
Yeah, great. The best thing is just to go to Tide.co. There, you see all the information. And then try us out. That's what we always encourage people. The proof is in the pudding. Do register. It's for free. You can open, your additional business current account with Tide. Nothing happens to your existing one if you have that. Try us out. See how much easier life can be. And, we'll win on that one. And Tide.co is the place to go to start.
Oliver Prill, Chief Executive Officer of Tide.co. Many, many thanks indeed. And keep time saving and happy 2020, sir.
Great. Thank you for your time.
It's just relentlessly moving on. 13 and a half minutes past 9 o'clock. Siren Radio. Time after time. Up next, Georgie Porter and Veganuary. Off he goes. And as promised, we're delighted now to actually welcome Ace Post, who's going through her very own Veganuary. She is, frankly, the best Hollyoaks individual ever in so many ways. Also celebrates her birthday on December 25th. It's a happy belated birthday and a welcome to talk about Veganuary to Ace actress and model Georgie Porter. How are you, Georgie?
Oh, really good. Thank you so much for that introduction. I think that's the best I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you know, we Capricorns have to stick together, Georgie. That's the important thing.
Yeah, so. We are strong goats.
Exactly. Whether it's fish, goats, either of which, you'd have to start, if you're on a vegan routine, you'd have to say, step away from that whole side
don't
of things.
Eat them.
No, exactly. We're in our own field. Or indeed, ocean if you're a fish. But the findings are this: one in two could turn vegan in 2020. Obviously, the environment and health. Share with us initially, Georgie, why you've decided to take this vegan approach to your own life at this time.
I think now the world is literally showing us the actual reasons. And actually, you know, we kind of need to change our ways a bit, don't we, heading towards the future. I did Veganuary last year, and I did do it for a month, and the benefits for me personally was brilliant. I think nowadays it's not just a trend anymore. I think we're literally stepping forward into, like, health issues and, you know, helping the environment. And I think now it's just becoming
a massive change that we're seeing.
Yeah, well, the report that we've been quoting during the programme so far, the Co-op's Ethical Consumerism reports, the market's topped £18 billion for the first time. It's more than doubled in the last 20 years. 44% of people in the East Midlands say they could be influenced into turning vegan. However, we've still got a number of people who actually say that, well, if I turn vegan, I'd miss my bacon sandwiches, I'd miss my steak and chips, I'd miss my chicken and so on. Is it a case of, you know, as you've rightly said at the start, Georgie, we need to be aware of the wider picture in this basis, and somehow, you know, there's a lot of tasty material out there if you choose a vegan way.
Yeah, and I mean, you just mentioned Co-op. They have a brand new range called Grow, and it's, you know, for me, it's the convenience of it as well. Like, it's your literal corner shop, and so you kind of have no excuse, really. You don't have to queue up to these restaurants that, you know, in the middle of nowhere that have vegan menus anymore. It's literally on your doorstep, and it's actually, like, really tasty. I'm not a cook myself. I cannot even, I don't have the patience, I don't have the ideas, but, like, this range has got, like, all different flavours, and, you know, it actually tastes quite meaty, but it's actually a mushroom. You know, these sort of things. That I think now you kind of, you don't really have an excuse anymore. I think you've got all these options, and they're actually really tasty.
And I suppose from a health point of view as well, it kind of makes sense, because there are lots of surveys which suggest if you just have a meat-based diet, then, you know, you're not going to necessarily give your digestive system the rest it actually needs, because we're not really designed to eat meat all the time.
And we're learning things. Like, I've learned so much through this campaign. It's brilliant. It's opened my eyes so much. But yeah, with health-wise, I think, you know, even you must feel a bit sluggish sometimes when you have so much meat. Like, over Christmas, I was having, like, you know, all the food, like little pigs in blankets.
But it's your birthday, obviously. You know, it's Georgie Porter's birthday, so, you know, December 25th is there.
Exactly. I'm getting really old. I need to, you know, celebrate that. But then, for me personally, it's like a new year, a new you, all that stuff. And you want to start off the year healthy, don't you? You want, like, a little health kick. And this is the perfect way. Just putting more plant-based food in your diet will literally, I think it changes your mood and all sorts of things, really. So, yeah, I think there's no excuse to not try it, at least.
Well, there's also the line about flexitarians, which I always thought was quite interesting, not to be confused with breatharians or fruitarians, which are a different line from that point of view. But the notion that you could actually have just a meat-free day or a couple of days a week and go vegan, if not for the whole of January, then select a couple of days a week to take that option.
Yeah, which I think is brilliant, because you can put a lot of pressure on yourself to think, I must do this, and therefore, you know, you might not win at it. Whereas if you can say, how about we do a couple of days, 4 out of the week, maybe just one day eat meat, so that, you know, you can look forward to that day if you really need your meat. And it is, flexitarian is a brilliant word, I think, to just prove that, you know, you don't have to just be solely, I can't eat eggs today for the rest of my life. Like, I think if you miss that kind of thing, then you can still eat them. Yeah.
As you mentioned, Grow, G-R-O, just in case people are saying, where's the W? It's just G-R-O. The Co-op's first fully plant-based range. You've got everything from ready-made meals like chili con carne and curry to grab-and-go options as well from that point of view. So well worth accessing if you're looking, even though we're in the second week of January. I know the year's going so quickly. But if you're looking at Veganuary, it could well be the ideal place to start. Georgie, where would you point people to in terms of finding out more details about this whole aspect of flexitarianism, veganism, and so on? Is there a particular website you'd say, I would personally go there?
Yeah, the Co-op website is brilliant. It's got so many recipes as well, because, you know, if you're not a chef, not like I can't cook at all, it gives you options and places where your local Co-op is, I think, as well.
We'll clearly have to put you in touch with our contributors, William Sitwell and Candice Brown. And I mean, Candice, who's coming up next, Great British Bake Off winner. I'm sure she could get you cooking, Georgie. You know, I think we can work on that. You know,
I need a personal assistant. She'd need to be with me constantly.
Maybe it's a Capricorn thing. I have a sort of similar thing myself, basically, but it's a different line. Georgie, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much as well. You've been so lovely. Thank you.
Georgie, the next critical question is, can we look forward to connecting with you again? As the months proceed, will you come back and join us again to tell us how the vegan diet is going and more in the life of Georgie Porter? Will you come back?
Definitely. Please invite me on. Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Thanks.
I've got a pocket full of pretty green. Pretty Green, The Jam, as the time comes around to 26 minutes past 9 o'clock. Lord above, it's just scooting by. Still to come, though, we've got a great British Bake Off winner, Candice Brown, who's going to be talking a little bit more about the high street, challenges of the high street, and how we can all do more to actually support our local stores, shops, whether it's in Lincoln or other parts of the world.
With lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews and a clear audio muse, it's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Love is pain, baby. I can see it in your eyes. Kisses taste the same, but it's just a sweet disguise. Ain't that just like you to worry about me? But we promise to be honest with each other for all eternity. And if you're looking for a way out, I won't stay.
So we addressed this with our Gibraltarian correspondent at the early part of the programme, and of course, no problem with the high street in Gibraltar. It's very popular. We'll be talking about it again with our Newcastle folk as well. They were quite happy with how the high street was looking, but maybe that's not always the case, even in Lincoln. And who better to actually talk about the ways in which we can arrest high street decline than two fantastic individuals. First of all, the great British Bake Off winner extraordinaire, the awesomely talented Candice Brown. How are you, Candice?
I'm good, thank you. That was a very kind introduction.
Very important. And then from Nationwide, the Director of Branches at Nationwide, the wonderful Mandy Beach. How are you, Mandy?
I'm really good, thank you very much.
Very good indeed. If we can come to you first, Candice, because some of the words that we've used here that came across from the survey, sad, bleak, very kind of Dickensian, all sort of Christmas time gone from that point of view. It's like the high street is just a little sad part of our world, which is becoming more and more neglected in this age of online scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, they're such sad words in themselves, aren't they? Like, it doesn't bring the best of images to your mind, does it really? But I think what this campaign is aiming to do is actually sort of overturn that. Because actually So Nationwide have done some research, and in the sort of East Midlands area, 66% of people do think the high street is important to them, but 67% think it's been neglected, and then 43% of people are using the word sad and bleak. Yeah.
And indifferent,
so,
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's sad because actually the high street was and should be, rightfully, a really, really important part of the community. It's the place where people go to converse and to communicate and to interact.
We need more Candice Brown pubs and things setting up there. We need that very intuition,
I do know a thing or two about that.
Exactly.
And actually having the pub now and sort of being an independent business, running it with my brother Ben, I understand it. The importance of it even more so, that these places do need support, and high streets need our support, and local pubs and villages and towns, they need our support. And it's getting people talking about it and understanding that once it's gone, but don't get to that point. Don't go, oh, that's a shame. Do something about it now. Start talking, and actually let's bring it up to its former glory.
Mandy, let's turn to your good self. I mean, the survey which suggested that one in four say that all the pubs, bars and cafes on their local high street are grotty and unappealing. That's a heck of a damning finding. I mean, in terms of where you're going to go. And I think in most cases, we're probably actually encountered areas where we think, I wouldn't necessarily go in there unless you're liking to come out with salmonella, botulism or other kinds of food poisoning.
I hope not. But you're absolutely right. What the survey is saying is people want to see fewer betting shops, fewer casinos, vaping shops, and more about kind of family-run businesses and places that really attract them to come to the high street. So I think that becomes really key. And part of that is about, seeing more flowers, I guess a sense of care and pride in the high street to make it a really attractive place to be, and also then places to shop. So that's kind of what the research is saying. And also not to underestimate that people are prepared to help and get behind this. So, again, what we're seeing from the survey is that people are prepared to volunteer to really make that high street feel like a place that, they can come and have a conversation, they can go for a coffee, and they can go for, a chat with people that they might not know. So definitely a real social person.
Now, clearly we should all actually head down to Eversholt, and the Green Man in particular, to actually see how it should be properly done. But Candice, from your own point of view, this notion, as you said, you're running this pub with your brother, etc. Does that also enhance the sense of community on the high street? And, I mean, interesting that in terms of the survey, over a third people actually wanted to see more family-run businesses. So it's not a case of the corporates, it's not a case of the Golden Arches or the various other emporia that are actually out there. They want more sort of aspects like yourself, Candice, and the Green Man and so on.
Absolutely, and I think that's so important because it means a little bit more, if I'm honest. It means that actually there's some history to it, or there's some sort of background to it, and actually getting those family-run businesses and understanding a little bit more. And we have that, and actually the pub in the village is, that's all there really is. There's the church, there's a Lido and a village hall. So it really is the centre of the community. Down the road we have Hampton, which I spend a lot of time there. There's a lot of lovely independent businesses, coffee shops that have been there, bakeries that have been there for years and years and years. And there is so much footfall through the market town that's how it should be. And things are put on for people, whether it's light switching on or bands playing and things like that. And I think that's where it's important. But I think people need to be listened to. It might take one person to come up with an initiative or an idea and go, how about we try this? And then actually that gets the ball rolling. And then all of a sudden, more people are involved. And businesses or a family business might go, actually, we could do that. Let's get involved. Then the council starts listening. And all of a sudden, you've got this really, really positive snowball effect. And people are now more involved. And they're bringing up almost the former glory of the high street, which is, I think, is so sadly missed now, but would be so, so missed. And I think online, there's no getting away from it. It's happening. It's going to carry on growing. But what people can do is these lovely places or independent businesses or family-run businesses that you can't get online and you can't get that interaction. That's invaluable. That's priceless.
Mandy, of course, we need to acknowledge that many of the major business areas that we see today were actually started by family-owned businesses. I mean, we've seen this year centenaries for supermarket chains, 150, 100 years and so on and so forth. They all started off on the sort of thing that Candice has been talking about. Let's talk briefly a bit about Nationwide, of course, because one of the good news aspects from your own point of view is that you made a pledge to ensure that no town or city in which you're actually currently based will actually be left branchless. So you're committing insofar as that's concerned, which presumably is a useful starting off point, I would have thought.
And then this is kind of why this campaign is really important, because what we're saying is we know how important, from a social purpose, the high street is, and therefore the branches. So it kind of supports all of this conversation. And also, it's making sure the branches are relevant. So we definitely see people coming in now for more complex conversations, or perhaps when they've been really concerned with maybe the fraud on their account or need some advice on mortgage, investment, savings, whatever that is. So definitely less of the traditional transactions, more of that interaction that requires face-to-face, and they really value that. And I guess alongside that, just to support what Candice is saying, it's not about putting tension between technology and kind of people. It's about them complementing each other. So for us, it's about making sure the branches really are relevant, investing enough money to make sure that they're up to date, they're modern, and they're really attractive places for people to go. And that's really what we're all about.
And where can people go to find out more details about what we've been chatting about this morning, Mandy?
So please come into the branch, have a coffee with us, talk to any one of our branch team, and of course go and have a piece of cake in the
or a pint or a cup of coffee. But no, it is about communication. This is not directing people online or go here where you're going to sit and do it from your desk or from home or on your phone. Get up, go down the high street and have a chat, and just let's get this ball rolling, communicate, interact, and let's really, really support and get behind this campaign to support the high street.
Physically collect, IRL, in real life, shocking terms, but it could be a whole range of things there. Yeah. Candice, I'm sure there'll be people coming in regularly saying, Candice, what is the secret? How do we cope with William Sitwell? We might find out. William might be joining us where he's skiing at present, actually, when he's not actually doing various other bits and pieces. But obviously, as a winner of Great British Bake Off, I'm sure you could obviously have a sideline in The Green Man where basically you say, the words of wisdom from Candice Brown on baking the perfect cake. There's another line there, which could be opened up for the community. Candice, it's been awesome. Likewise, Mandy Beach as well. Many thanks indeed, and hopefully we'll speak again in the very near future. Take care now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Gets near. Do you want to live? You want to try? You hear the whisper of the world outside. So take a chance and leave tonight. Sarah's waiting in the car outside. A bolted door, you find. Let your anger and your sadness break. Inside the nighttime with a charcoal grin, the causing diamonds on her pallid skin. And when she turns around, he's laid out on the ground. And now you're standing with your finger on the post. And then an open door, two footsteps on the floor. And now you're standing with your finger on the post. If I don't belong by you, I don't belong anywhere. You know I'd follow you to the heart of nowhere. There's just two kinds of people, God-fearing and the godless, cowards and faithless, and I would stand by you.
Noah and the Whale, Heart of Nowhere. We'll do our little roll of honour now. We're still hopeful that we might squeeze in William Sitwell before the end of the programme, but who knows? I say, when you're on the ski slopes, oh, you don't know where you could end up with. Thanks to Gabriella Peralta, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Oliver Prill, the CEO of Tide.co, Georgie Porter, and Candice Brown. And you, of course, dear listener, for sticking with us for however long you've been with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. It's a souvenir of life.
Hi, it's Randy Reinholz, co-founder of America's Native Voices at the Audrey. You're listening to Alex Lefchuk and the team on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for Siren FM.
Something wonderful about Emotion in Motion, because it almost describes the experiences of William Sitwell on the piece. Emotion in Motion, William. How are you?
Very well. Good morning, Lincoln.
And happy 2022, good self. As we've had a veganuary theme going through the programme, Georgie Porter was sharing with us her attempts to actually be flexitarian, go veganuary. Of those of us who've managed to look at the wonderful front cover, the front cover of the Telegraph magazine last Saturday, will have seen you there looking not necessarily forlorn, but basically ready to go for this whole thing, basically. So, you know, when it comes to veganism, clearly, William, you're becoming almost the new zealot to the cause.
Yeah, I tried it for, did it for a week.
Well, yeah. And are we looking forward to, as we head through Veganuary, obviously the comparative month, which will be Porktober, which obviously we need to look for later on in the year, you know, to actually work through that process? Or is that just a case of being facetious? We won't go there. It's a different line.
No, you don't go there. No. It was an interesting process. I mean, it takes a lot of hard work, you know, when you're a conventional eater and you don't have these hang-ups. You know, you can open the fridge and, you know, get a bit of ham and a bit of cheese. You can hot butter some toast and slab on some Marmite. The vegan lifestyle philosophy, which I don't think you should really dip into. I mean, it's a whole thing or it's nothing. Mm. The whole point is it's a philosophy. It's very pure. So I'm slightly suspect of veganuary, of people sort of just trying these things out. But, I mean, I think that it's always good to vary your diet and experiment with a few different things. And if you can bring a bit more colour variation, if you can cut down on cheap meat and really think about where your food comes from, then I think that's really a, you know, really a good message. What I don't like about a lot of the stuff in the vegan world is all the products aping conventional food, like mayonnaise and cheddar, spreads, creme fraiche, milks, all of which are sort of horrible things created in laboratories, and it's cynical, and they've got all sorts of crap in them, and it's not very pure. But I mean, if you want to live on a good, pure diet of non-dairy, all plant, without all that other crap, then that's fine by me.
Recently saw a feature, I believe, in terms of the science world that suggested we're even being able to generate food out of thin air, quite literally, and actually sort of put enzymes together and get it from oxygen and hydrogen and so on. It's a strange
Well, you might remember a few years ago, there was a woman, I remember years ago, about 20 years ago, who claimed to be a breatharian.
Mm.
And she said she got all her nutrients, everything she needed from just breathing. And then she was subject to some tests, and they busted her for using biscuits. But I think this is a slightly more kosher story.
Exactly. And we need to sort it through on a show, which is we've moved from Richard Fitzwilliam's views on the Sussexes and basically sort of heading off to Canada or wherever. Mexico, I think, would be a good start for them. I just think it would be like that. But anyway, we won't invite comment on that particular thing because it's a whole new world. But we have been building up to this moment, William, because former Great British Bake Off winner Candice Brown was also sharing with us her attempts to ensure that what she's doing with her brother in the wonderful pub that she's been coordinating is re-energising life, etc. Where are you in the world, William, on the piste at present?
So I'm in Courchevel, which is part of the Trois Vallées, about 2 hours drive from Geneva. I'm at about 2,000 feet. In fact, I'm just standing above the altiport of Courchevel, which is this extraordinary little airport with a very steep and short runway that you can bring little planes onto if you want, or your helicopter. And I'm staying at Courchevel 1850, which is the highest point of Courchevel. And I can see Mont Blanc in the distance. It's a beautiful blue sky day. Conditions are good. I'm getting a little bit of air before I come back to Earth.
That's what I like about the French. I mean, they have a white mountain. They call it a white mountain, quite literally. You know, no messing about from that point of view. You know, there's Ben Nevis or various other aspects. It's just it's there, a white mountain. Stuff.
Exactly. There it is ahead of me, looking proud and masterful.
It's amazing. So with the advice, don't break anything, William, because I know it's very dangerous when you do. I mean, don't do the ski jumps. I mean, next week we're actually doing a feature with Eddie the Eagle Edwards, so you don't know where he could be going on that sort of basis. Basically.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, exactly.
The man is a legend. Well done for having him on your show.
He only said it's because of your good self, William, that he felt he wanted to actually join and connect with the whole thing. So that's the critical thing. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning, William Sitwell?
Very nice. Just you. Your gang has left you. You're all alone, Alex, but you seem to be coping all right.
Well, this is the important thing, you see. We need to keep going because at the end of the day, as long as there is at least one listener, hopefully there's some sort of meaning and purpose to the whole system. So the next critical question is, will you be back with us next week or will you still be skiing then?
No. I'll be back.
Excellent.
I'll be back and ready to speak to you.
Well, there we have it. William Sitwell already booked for 168 hours or thereabouts from now, as we said. I mean, are you a seasoned skier? Is it a case of, don't be ridiculous, I mean, when it comes to the actual sort of the movements, I'm you know, Roger Moore would take lessons from me in one of his Spy Who Loved Me movies when it comes to skiing.
Do you know, yeah, I love it. I'm all right. I cope. Do you know, last year, or a couple of years ago, I skied with a man who taught Roger Moore how to ski, and he said Roger Moore's skiing was absolutely terrible.
Mm.
And he says he never forgot one morning they were skiing and they stopped for a drink, and Roger Moore lost control, skied across the top of this bar, crashed into loads of people sitting on deck chairs, and then emerged in a crumpled heap and said, I believe I'll have a cocktail.
Exactly. You've got to admire the classic approach, probably with eyebrows slightly raised, if I know my Roger Moore.
Exactly.
Slightly raised, quirkily, quizzically.
Yeah, your spitting image version of Roger Moore.
Oh, precisely. We will leave you with that thought, William. Keep safely skiing, keep on keeping on, and speak to you next week.
Bye.
Like a children's game, and as I see